Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and with me is James Bitter and his shitty Wi-Fi. James, how we doing?
Good. Wi-Fi, not so good.
That is true. This is take two. Fair warning. Not the whole thing, honestly, just the first 2 minutes, but it's college football week 12. I'm so excited for this week of games. I feel like there's implications in seemingly every game of the week right now. Hands down, the most, what do we call them, marquee matchups, key games, that we've had in any pod this year, I would imagine. So very much looking forward to this Saturday. A lot of playoff implications, conference title implications, everything. James, Oklahoma loses, and the offense looks like shit. Right when I call for them to be the best offense in the country, I will say, if Caleb Williams doesn't get his hand stepped on, I think they win, and that's the story I'm going to go with. But James, what was your biggest takeaway from last week's action?
It has to be Oklahoma losing. I mean, it was presumed if they won out, they were going to be in the playoff, which they had the path to win out. That game against Oklahoma State in the Big 12 Championship were definitely not going to be easy games, but they were supposed to win out. They would have been favorites in every game. So I think that's a kind of a huge, not really surprise. They were favorites, but kind of just something that happened. Definitely hurts you and I. I know you had some Caleb Williams Heisman tickets and some Oklahoma futures. I also had some Oklahoma futures as well. But on the bright side, Georgia continues just to dominate anything and everybody in their path.
Yes.
A game that a lot of people looked at, potentially a sleepy spot. Tennessee does some things that no other team has done all year that's faced Georgia. They go fast. They throw the ball deep. It doesn't matter. None of it worked. Georgia's just too good. Outside of that, I don't think there were really any games that had like too surprising of results outside of Kansas beating Texas. I thought that was pretty incredible. But outside of that, I think some crazy games and some horrible beats along the way last week. More than I've seen.
Don't get me started.
More than I've seen all year. But
outside of my Oklahoma team total, and I don't think I complain a whole lot on podcasts, but I'm going to right now. I think I was on the right side of 4 or 5 games. I went 1-4. And like that was very, very frustrating for me. But so that was a week to forget for sure. Should we just get right on into it?
Let's do it.
Really quick. So with that kind of the Oklahoma loss, how do you think that shakes up the picture, the playoff picture a little bit?
I think I don't know if the Big 12 is out. Oklahoma State's still got a chance, man.
I also don't think Oklahoma is out of it either.
I kind of do. I think they lost in pretty, I wouldn't say embarrassing fashion, but they never really had a chance in that second half. Once they were down 17-7 or whatever it was, it just felt like they were just so far out of it. And that offense looked anemic too. It's like, no matter who they threw back there, Caleb Williams got his hand stepped on, but they just didn't look good. And that was like a huge morning televised game on ESPN too. So a lot of people saw it. I think that leaves just bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. So I'd say they're probably out. I think honestly,
that's fair, but they were undefeated. And like you went out, you beat Oklahoma State twice. You beat Iowa State. You go 12-1 and say, I can't speak about you, but I don't really expect Oregon to win out at all. And I don't think that.
See, I do.
But does 2 loss Bama get in over 1 loss Oklahoma?
But it opens the door, though, for a 2 loss. I mean, honestly, the answer should be it opens the door for Cincinnati.
I agree.
But the committee clearly has a bias not to include Cincinnati for ratings, which I do understand.
So, but I have an opinion on that. So, I mean, I'm invested in Cincinnati, obviously, so call me a little biased. I don't see how not including Cincinnati in there is like, especially an undefeated one, is at all a benefit to you, because you're just going to get people really mad at you. And if you do put them in and they get smacked, then like that's like the most.
Which like, they will.
Exactly. They're going to be a 4 seed versus Georgia and they're going to get their shit kicked. Like that's going to be the most like confirmation bias thing ever, and you essentially just be able to stand there and say, you guys have been complaining about first round matchups the whole time. We include the good group of five team and they just got, and they just lost by 50. Like that, it has, there is absolutely zero drawback to not throwing them in, because if they win, then everyone gets what they want, which
I agree with what you're saying, but like at the end of the day, it's all about who watches. I think they just know they can put in like whoever they want and make whoever they want mad, but people are still going to watch at the end of the day, depending on in. And like, if it's Ohio State versus Cincinnati, you're going to gain X amount of viewers, even if it does like confirm what most people probably think, especially them. I just don't really think they're looking for that confirmation. You know, they're looking for the money. That's end of the day, they're chasing a dollar sign.
That's true. I was early on my Kansas, man. It really bummed me out. But that being said,
it's not too late. You could hop on the train again.
No, they're not winning two in a row. Gosh, if they were to win two in a row, I'd actually be really sad. That would very much bum me out.
That would just be a slap in the face.
It would be a huge slap in the face. Let's hit these matchups though. So this also coincides with my number one pick. Confidence play. But we're going to start in the Big Ten. We're going to go to Michigan State, Ohio State. Ohio State is laying a massive number of minus 19. And man, I love Ohio State laying 19 here. I did not pull up the total. I apologize.
67.
I'll give my handicap real quick and then hop right in. I talked about this a little bit last week with Maryland, but Michigan State's passing defense has been very weak this year. And last week was no indicator that it is going to get better by any mean. Maryland must have had three turnovers on downs in the red zone and I believe two missed field goals. So they were able to move the ball with ease. And now when Maryland already had a top 10 passing success rate in the country, and now you go to the number one passing success rate team in the country with perhaps the best wide receiver grouping we've seen, arguably, since the start of the century, I would argue. I actually believe this group is better and deeper than the Alabama one. I don't think you get as many big names, but I think with the pedigree and talent that they have, I could certainly make the case that these guys are a cut above the Bama group. And CJ Stroud's coming into his own. As a Heisman holder, I'm utterly excited about it. This game does have some Heisman implications too, just because of Kenneth Walker. But bringing up Kenneth Walker, Ohio State's defensive rushing success rate has been incredible too. So I do think they're going to be able to stop Michigan in the run game. And while I have been overall pretty impressed with Peyton Thorne, just kind of compared to my expectations of him coming into the season, I think that the passing defense of Ohio State is going to do enough to slow the Michigan State offense down. And I think this could get fairly ugly. I'm going to give you a score prediction. I'm going to say 56-14. I think Ohio State absolutely dominates here. And I don't think Michigan State is able to move the ball much at all. I'm curious what your thoughts are. It's essentially like a plug and play of last week's handicap for me, just with Ohio State and their better defense and better run game and better passing offense and everything else. So what do you think?
Yeah, total agreement. This would have made my five if it didn't make yours or was not your number one play. An angle that I really like here is Ohio State team total over.
Love that.
It's 43.5 right now. I think they get into the 50s. I mean, they put up 59 last week on Purdue, who's, I'd argue, pretty similar defensively.
I think they're better. State.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying similar to be a little nice about it, but I'd agree. I mean, that's my main angle here. You could even go first half. I mean, they had 49 or 45 at half last week.
I bet the over. I don't know if I included that in my five last week, which seems like it went for me. I should have.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That went over my total. I bet 61 and close 66, and it was 62 first half points.
I think I had a 62. That was a very fun first half to watch, and I just turned it off after. I just started watching some other losing bet that I had.
All right, so here's another angle.
Sure.
Some websites offer a prop builder on some of these huge college games. Would you look at CJ Stroud, either passing yards or touchdowns in this? It's just, five touchdowns or something ludicrous.
If you can do that, I would say I would go four. Honestly, like, and this was, I think I would bet it probably 4 weeks in a row, and I cash every single week. Like, at some point in the middle of the year, because, like, people were somewhat down on Stroud, it was, like, two and a half, three. And then it's slowly been creeping up. So I don't really know what price you're going to get. I would, if sure I had inflated. To guess, I would say it's 3.5. And if you need four at +1 or -110, if that even is what it is, that's not exactly my favorite bet in the world. Honestly, I'd rather just go passing yards.
Gotcha.
And I do think you can get like a little more creative with passing yards. The other thing is that those receivers are so good after the catch that he could just complete that, you know, that 10-yard pass, and then they could just house it for 70. Now the only issue is there is that Travion Henderson is as likely to bust out a run for, you know, an 80-yard touchdown. So it is certainly, like, I would call it a little bit of a gamble. I'm not going to be betting Stroud. I would just bet. I think you have the right angle, team total.
Yep.
So that's just kind of what I'm looking at. If Michigan State wins, Kenneth Walker will win the Heisman. That being said, I see no path to victory for Michigan State. So I don't know. But after outside of the Big Ten, we move to the ACC. And this is another one of my plays. I'm going big this week. Wake Forest at Clemson. Clemson is laying 4.5. James, I'm going to let you start us off because I think that you might disagree with me a little bit here, although I don't know how much, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
I mean, I was a sucker. I bet Wake +3.5, and I think you probably did as well on Sunday.
I didn't, actually.
You did not.
I did not, I was being lazy on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't really like it a ton now. Clemson's starting to play better ball. I mean, Sam Hartman and Wake Forest on offense, it's just been putting up video game numbers all year. Even last week, he threw three picks, and they still put up 45 points. I think Wake can score points here. It's just their defense is abysmal. So that Clemson offense that has been kind of just a shell of what we've seen in years past, they've honestly just kind of completely changed their offense to be more conservative and kind of run the ball. And they don't even really run at a crazy tempo anymore. I think 4.5 is a pretty good number here. I think I'm kind of a sucker for taking 3.5. I just think Clemson can actually score a little bit here, and they've been playing better ball as of late. So right now I'd probably just pass the game as a whole, but I will have some rooting interest on Wake.
So let me tell you why Wake Forest is going to win this game. So I think, first of all, 4.5 is so disrespectful for what honestly is probably the best deep passing attack in college football right now.
Ohio State, come on.
Yeah, but like, I would say it's the best. What Wake Forest does down the field is unmatched by very few teams. And like, they score so much and so quick because it's all like 20-yard throws that these really good receivers just grab and make plays. And so last week we saw Wake Forest put up 45 points against a very good and comparable to Clemson's NC State defense. NC State and Clemson are nearly identical in passing success rate, and that includes last week's performance. So NC State's was arguably rated a little bit higher. In terms of passing explosiveness, Clemson has allowed more explosive plays from usual, than usual. And then where Clemson is going to have an advantage is running the ball. Now, with how poorly Clemson has thrown the ball, I'm not sure that it's going to be that easy to, or excuse me, it's going to be that difficult to scheme up against. And because of this, I think that we might see a little bit better of a Wake Forest defensive performance. And Clemson's been playing like close games, even against Louisville when I was lucky to cover. What did I bet? Clemson -4, Clemson -3.5.
Yeah, I was on that with you.
Yeah, and they were so, so lucky to cover that. And I don't think that they're going to have as wide of a margin for error against what is a top 10, top 15 offense in the country. The scheme is so unique. If for people who haven't necessarily watched Wake Forest game, it's crazy because Sam Hartman gets the ball and he and the running back just essentially stand still until like they see how the defense develops, and then they decide whether to run it or pass it on nearly every single play. And with how good that the Wake Forest receivers have been, I'm not sure that Clemson has the depth at corner to kind of hang with them. And while Clemson does have some elite corners, one that comes to mind, Andrew Booth, I don't think they have enough secondary talent to kind of hang with them there. And then just finally to add, the Wake Forest offensive line has been pretty good this year, so I don't think Clemson is going to blow up as many plays as they normally do. Anything to kind of rebut with that?
Not really. I mean, I'm just more neutral at this point, so I don't
feel that.
Yeah,
At 4.5, do you think it's a valuable bet?
Yeah, I mean, 4 is I wouldn't say a key number, but it is more important than like a 5 per se. So you're getting some numbers there.
All righty. Moving on to the Big 12. Actually, it's kind of nice. I think there's like one huge, huge game in all 5 of the Power 5 conferences, plus Cincinnati. Iowa State at Oklahoma. Oklahoma's laying 3.5. Total is 59. I'm curious your thoughts here. I want to bet Oklahoma, but recency bias tells me that I shouldn't. What do you think?
Sorry about that. I muted myself on accident. No, recency bias also says you could bet Iowa State here. You could look at Iowa State and say they also just lost to a pretty poor team.
That's true.
But I think, I don't know. This game's so tough for me because coming into the year, this is probably the game of the year in the Big 12. And now it's a 6-4 Iowa team and an Oklahoma team who definitely needs to win this game. But I don't know. There's just something wrong with Iowa right now, or Iowa State rather. I don't know whether it's because they're out of the Big 12 race and they're just like, kind of losing that focus and that desire, you know. But this just feels like a game they get up to me. Like, this is their Super Bowl. This, like, we can spoil Oklahoma season. Like, they don't go to the Big 12 championship. If they lose, they're definitely out of the playoff. And I mean, they have some bad blood with Oklahoma. Oklahoma beat them last year in the Big 12 championship in a game that was very closely played. And Iowa State actually had a chance to win at the end. I lean to Iowa State here. I think they keep it pretty close. Oklahoma State should bounce back, but we've seen Dan Campbell do really well in this matchup. So
Matt Campbell.
God damn it. That's why I said
Dan,
that.
Come on, dude. Dan's not walking through that door to fire this team up.
No, Dan would walk through the door and give the ball to the running. He'd hand off the ball like 45 times.
That's true. You know, we just recorded the NFL pod a couple hours ago. We did not mention that Dan Campbell started calling plays late in that game.
Yeah, he did. I thought he had it the entire game, but actually, either way, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
That's why Jared Goff never threw the ball.
That's fair. This is a college football pod there.
Yeah. I lean to Iowa State. This is a tough game for me, but I'm not going to play this.
If it gets to 3.5, we're going to bet Oklahoma, which is certainly trending that way. I don't know. Oklahoma just might suck. Like, they just might kind of be what they are as a team. Matt Campbell certainly knows how to scheme up against Lincoln Riley. And I think last week showed that the coaches who do know how to do that just kind of have the same similar success against Lincoln Riley. I mean, with Dave Aranda, Matt Campbell, honestly, that's probably the list. But there is a history, especially them, or not Dave Aranda by any means, but Matt Campbell with much worse teams has been able to keep these games very close. So maybe right now, I would argue 3.5 is valuable. But when a 6 was available earlier in the week, I'm not sure it's that valuable of a bet. So, lean Oklahoma to me for now. If it's 3, I'm probably betting it. So, that's where I'm at.
Yep.
Southern Methodist University at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is laying 11.5, and that total is 65. Ooh, is that a high total for Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Maybe not for SMU. This is, I think, coming into the season around week 4, week 5, this was going to be the biggest game of the American. And now SMU is coming off 2 straight losses, I believe. And Cincinnati is struggling to answer some people's questions about them. Do you think SMU is live here at all?
No. I mean, Cincinnati is not playing good football right now, but I think this is a game where I actually kind of like them a little bit. At a certain point, you have to bottom out in the market. And I don't think they covered, what, 5 games in a row now?
I think it's
kind of reached that point. And the other side, like, SMU had a win total of 6 coming into the year. I mean, they weren't supposed to be some great team or some team that was doing the things they were early on in the year. And I think a lot of that was contributed to that win at TCU, and knowing what we know now about TCU, I think
that's a good point.
Really undervalues that win. I'm kind of talking myself into Cincy here.
You kind of just talked me into it.
Yeah, I think SMU is just fraudulent, and I think they're finally coming back down to where they should be. And I think we're getting a discounted number here under 2 touchdowns. I think Cincy kind of rolls. Yeah, I'm kind of with it. I kind of like this actually a fair amount. Cincinnati. I think SMU's defense is just not very good either.
It's horrible.
I keep flipping the names. I think Cincinnati can score a fair amount here. Cincinnati's defense has struggled a little bit, but I mean, SMU is pretty one-dimensional. I see a lot of roads to Cincinnati winning by 14 plus.
Yeah, full agreement here. SMU, ever since the Sonny Dykes news was that he was like rumored for the TCU job, kind of fallen off a cliff a little bit. Maybe he's lost the team a little bit. Also, SMU is centered around a passing attack, and say what you will about Cincinnati's defense, I would agree that they've struggled lately. They've got 2 probable first-round picks, and with one of those players being Sauce Gardner, his counterpart at corner to make up probably the best. They certainly rival North Carolina's cornerback duo in terms of name quality, but Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant are 2 outstanding names, and they're both very good football players as well. So I do think that could pose some issues there for SMU. I would like to see Cincinnati score a lot of points here before I'm able to kind of like regain confidence in them.
Is this a nationally televised game? Like, is this a late window on ESPN?
I will look that up right now.
Yeah, I'm on it. Because if that's the case, I really like Cincinnati here. It's a chance to kind of – it is.
Yep, ESPN.
Yeah, it's a chance to flex their muscle. I mean, they need to.
Yeah,
as national televised games just kind of shit the bed. So,
what would you say to Cincinnati first half?
Ooh, okay. I don't hate that.
I'll try and find it real quick. Load. This is bad radio. Cincinnati first half is -7.
Is it flat?
It's -105.
Really? Okay.
Maybe a Cincinnati first half team total over.
Yeah, I could probably get on board with that.
I think that's better.
I don't mind laying 11.5 though for the full game. I'm
with you.
Get some margin here, so I might just stay away from first half and just look full game.
Sure. Yeah, I can get behind that for sure. But let's move on to the SEC, which. That was being chanted after Kansas won, and I thought that was hilarious. but we're actually going to Alabama, where they host Arkansas. People may see Arkansas, see the number 21, and think, why on earth are they getting 20.5 points? But I'll tell you why. It's because they have not looked very good the past couple of weeks. They have certainly not been covering spreads, and they just squeaked out a victory against LSU. Here I am underprepared again. Nope, I got it right here. Total is 58.5. James, is Bama gonna roll here? Get it?
I do. I actually bet Bama first half -12.5. I think anything under 14 could be a pretty good bet here. Bama last week basically got a bye against New Mexico State. They picked their score. The week before they got embarrassed at home. They still won against LSU, but they just looked really sloppy. And I think we see kind of a statement here. This is another televised game that I think Bama's looking kind of get some margin here before the Auburn game next week. And on the other side, Arkansas is coming off an emotional overtime win at LSU. their offense just looked really bad. I don't know if Bama offense and Arkansas offense looking bad against LSU's a coincidence or where LSU's defense is finally coming into its own, but I'm willing to say that Bama is just the better side here. And I think the first half is the angle because we could see a bit of a hangover. Saban does have some sort of indebted against Arkansas too. I mean, Arkansas has been really bad for what, 10 plus years now. And that was under a different regime too, but I don't know what it is. He seems to cover the first half spread in every one of these games and win every one by 30. So I think Bama first half is the angle here for me. Full game, I'm going to stay away a little bit. I know you think Arkansas could be hanging in there a little bit at the end, which is part of the reason I like the first half angle. But, yeah, Bama first half minus 12.5 is the way I'm going to attack this.
Yeah, I do. I think 20.5 points is – I saw 21, just didn't bet it because I'm a moron. But I think 20.5 is too many points. First of all, not only is this just completely ripe for backdoor, I can see Arkansas being competitive in this game. Now, the unfortunate thing is that arguably the best player on their defense, Jalen Catalon, he's a very, very good sophomore safety. He is, I believe he's out for this week. That's a big loss, and that does matter. That being said, this is the kind of defense that, like the way it's schematically set up, it forces tough throws for quarterbacks. And I do believe this is the first time that Bryce Young is going to see it like this. Last year, we watched Matt Corral throw, 6 interceptions and fumble once in this game. Now, I'm not calling for something like that, but we have seen this Arkansas team be frisky with the elite teams and maybe not Georgia, this is probably going to come out and sound like I don't think Alabama is very good. It's not true because Alabama's without a doubt a top 4 team in football. Now, whether I think they deserve to be in the college football playoff with 2 losses is a different story, but the people who argue that Bama is the second best team, I get it. And I understand the argument, but they've been pretty lucky on third downs and they've continued to be, and are still due for third down regression. And overall, I just have not been super impressed with Bryce Young. Bryce Young has done the bare minimum of what he's needed to do. And he's done it pretty well. And when your receivers lead the nation in yak yards, it's going to make the quarterback look that much better. I think that because of the way that the 4-2-5 and because they play with so many DBs, I think you're not going to get as many yak yards too. If Arkansas is able to get any sort of pressure up front against what Alabama O-line, which has struggled recently, I think Bryce Young could be in a little bit of trouble here. And I think we see a game similar to Florida. Now, the other reason why I think we see a game similar to Florida is because you have a quarterback who can run the ball and you have a very good rushing attack. And I think that's where Alabama is weakest. And because of what, if Arkansas is able to run the ball to kind of create, downfield passing for Treylon Burks, I think Arkansas is going to be able to score a little bit. Screw it. I will call for it. Arkansas outright. They're winning. I like the coach and I love the coordinators. Play calling's been good and they do what they're good and they call the stuff they're good at. So there's your hot take of the week. Arkansas wins this week. I'm in. Now tell me I'm done. I'm dumb so we can move on.
All right. You said it yourself.
Okay. To the Pac-12. Oregon getting 3 points at Utah. The Utes win this game and they are into the Pac-12 championship. I believe if Oregon wins this game,
I think they're already in it.
They are. Not even if Oregon State wins out.
Oh, actually Oregon State, I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. So this is the likely Pac-12 championship matchup. However, Utah is at home and they could put Oregon in a tough spot next week with a win. And Utah's favored against the number 3 ranked team in the country. James, I believe you like Oregon, correct?
I do.
Okay. Make the case, because I think I lean Utah.
I just I think Oregon's too good to be catching three here. At Pitt, I would have understood. I still probably would have liked Oregon a fair amount, but getting a full field goal, I just think it's disrespectful. If this game's played in the trenches, Oregon has the better defensive line and offensive line. Utah, over the course of the year, has become better in the trenches. At the beginning of the year, they were abysmal. But now they're actually pretty competent and actually becoming a pretty good football team. But I just think, in my mind, this lines up to the UCLA game just pretty similarly. UCLA was one of those teams, trendy teams. Oh, this is the game Oregon loses. This is the game Oregon loses. And then Oregon came out, and I think they won by 7, but they should have won by just a lot of points in that game. Just left points all over the board and played sloppy throughout. Utah's a better coach team than UCLA and definitely a better football team than UCLA, so I'm not putting them on the same plane as UCLA, but I just think 3 is too many here for a team that is better in the trenches and I think has better skill position players. Cameron Rising has been very good for Utah at quarterback, but I just think Oregon at the end of the day is too good to be catching 3.
That's interesting.
You're higher on Utah than I am, too. I haven't caught up to them. So
I feel like I get to this point with Utah every year, though. Yeah. So maybe it's just like an internal bias kind of thing. I think Utah deserves to be. I'm not betting Utah in this game. I would like to throw that out there. But I do think Utah deserves to be favored. The way, like, because Oregon hasn't been that great against the run. They haven't been that great. I mean, their defense just hasn't been very good in general, even with what many presume to be the number one overall pick. And I do think that Utah's might just be able to impose their will on the ground. And Cam Rising's been pretty freaking good. And now I don't know if this is a sign of dysfunction or what, but I mean, an Oregon receiver who does play a little bit, Micah Pittman, he is leaving the program. Now all signs seem to point to an amicable ending of the relationship, but I do think that does matter a bit. However, former Saintsman Byron Cardwell, which has been one of the bright spots ever since of the Oregon offense, ever since CJ Verdell went down with an injury. But ultimately, what I think is, I look at this in a couple different lenses. In this game, I think Utah has the better quarterback. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I'd probably agree.
Okay.
Not more athletic, but better thrower. Yes.
Certainly not. But Rising can also run the ball decently. But yeah, he's
an individual threat.
I do agree with that. I think they have the better coach, which I could understand you disagreeing with that, but I don't like Chris Paul in game. And then yeah, I
talked about that.
I also think that they have the better defense. And when I get all three of those, then I still don't necessarily see value on Utah laying 3. I would like this way more if it was 2.5. But I do think that they are very, very, very live to win this game and that this isn't some like trap line or anything like that. And I do think it's deserved. So that's just kind of where I'm at. Do you think that Whittingham is better? Or would you disagree?
Yeah, no. Whittingham's a pretty good big game coach, especially in season. Although we saw 2 years ago, in the Pac-12 championship,
that it was a murder.
Yeah, Chris Paul had his way with him. So
that also could have just been a talent thing, though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we could see something pretty similar. I don't know, man.
That's true. That's true. Is a good point.
That was definitely a better Utah team.
I'm very, very excited to watch this game now. Oh, I also think that was. I mean, that was Herbert.
Knowing what we do now, yeah.
Yeah. That's it for marquee matchups. Before we get into our top 5, which I think I've already almost talked about half of mine so far. But although Arkansas did not make it and probably should have. But we do have a sponsor, and our sponsor's name is Anchor. So please listen to a quick ad for Anchor. All right, James. Big, big, big weekend of college football. I already went over Ohio State minus 19. You overall agreed. Team total look for you, too. But we will start off with you. You do have a big lead.
Yep.
But I got to be honest, overall, I didn't realize you had Oregon plus 3 in your top 5. It's interesting.
Yep.
Okay, good. I can root for that one to lose. James, we're going to Wisconsin for your first game. Yep. Where Nebraska is getting 9 points on the road. And the total is, I can't imagine it's above 50.
I can't either, so I'll pull it up.
It's 43. Okay, this might sound weird, but I kind of like that over, but I will talk about it in a second. Bit. Why are we fading Wisconsin? Because they've been playing great football recently.
They have. They've been playing really good football. I think they've covered either 4 or 5 in a row. And their defense is just playing ridiculous. They're starting to run the ball really well. But Malusi is out for the year.
Don't care about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's plug and play with running backs. But the main reason I like this is I really like Nebraska's defense. And Nebraska has been really, really, really unfortunate in all these close games. It's been the same thing in the Scott Frost era the last 4 years. But now in year 4, they actually have the personnel to keep up with these physical teams. Like in years past, we've seen Wisconsin just blow them out. Some of these big teams just come in there and have their way with Nebraska. But now they're in all these games. They just find ways to lose them. So by grabbing over a possession here, I think it's incredibly valuable. I think I saw a crazy stat. So they have 4 losses this year to AP top 10 teams, and it's by a combined 14 points.
Jeez, that's actually incredible.
It's ridiculous. I mean, they just find ways to lose. Every week they invent a new way. But I just think 9 is too many here, and especially in the game total at 43. Yeah, Nebraska's record's pretty lousy, but they haven't lost a game by over a touchdown all year. And just to be laying it with Graham Mertz, all I got to say is Graham Mertz. Like, you want to get margin with that guy? He's been playing better football too, but I just don't trust him at the end of the day. With everything going on in Nebraska right now, I actually like the direction. I like that they came out and backed Scott Frost and said, listen, you guys have played really good football this year. That defense has been very good, but you've been on the short side of a lot of just unlucky games. I like that. I like that it's coming back another year. And I think that keeps the program energized. And I think it keeps them wanting to play hard to win jobs for next year. So I think everyone's playing hard. And I think this is a game they look at and think they have a chance in. I really like +9. It's my favorite play by far this week.
No, I think I disagree a little bit. First of all, ever since, you know what? I'm gonna get hot take again. Michigan State doesn't have the best running back in the Big Ten. Wisconsin does. I believe he's 17 years old. But Braylon Allen.
Oh my God. I don't believe. Do you think a 17-year-old is the best running back in the Big Ten?
He's been dominating, first of all. And ever since they kind of switched from Ches Malusi to Braylon Allen of who's getting the majority of the carries, Wisconsin offense has done. I mean, now they're not the greatest show on turf by any means. Don't let me exaggerate here, but they have been pretty good. And I don't think he's related. Never mind. That's Jonathan Taylor, not Jonathan Allen. they have a better rushing success rate than Michigan State, slightly below Ohio State. Nebraska has actually struggled against the run a little bit, which is a little worrisome here. I think if I had to look at anything here, it'd be a Wisconsin team total over, because I do think there could be points. But what worries me, and I do think that this matters, is that Wisconsin has not really had to play many creative quarterbacks. And I do think Adrian Martinez kind of falls into this category of where he's not the most consistent. He's not the best quarterback that, honestly, he's probably not the best quarterback that Wisconsin's faced all year, but he is able to make plays. And I do think that's important. And when like nothing is really happening for your offense, Adrian Martinez is kind of able to like pick up 10 yards when they need it, you know, move out of the pocket and like throw a receiver open. And obviously he's going to throw his picks. He's going to take his stupid sacks. But I think that with like the in-game ceiling of Martinez is going to keep this game close. So ultimately, I do think this number is too big. I do lean Nebraska, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Wisconsin just blew the doors off Nebraska here, because the defense has been elite and it's been playing way better football recently. Oh, and the offense has been playing way better football recently. So just to lean to Nebraska +9 for me, but more than a possession with Graham Mertz, it's a little bit too much. So it does worry me a bit. All right. My second favorite, actually, we'll go to your second favorite play first. And we're going to I'm from San Diego. I was about to call it the beautiful city of LA. I hate LA. UCLA is playing USC. And UCLA is laying 3 as a technically road dog or road favorite. The total is, and I also have a play in this game, which is the total, 65.5. James, it is your second favorite play, so we can let you start. Why do we like UCLA -3?
Yeah, I like UCLA. I think they're playing really good football, and I think they have a bad taste in their mouth after last year's game against USC. They should have won. This year, they're just the better team, and USC has really stumbled at the end of the year. I mean, with no coach and no leadership right now, they're in a bit of a downfall. And I think this is the time when Chip Kelly and UCLA take advantage of that. I think 3 is light here. I think UCLA wins by 7+. It is a little bit concerning. I actually kind of like if Keaton Slovis played this, but instead it's Jackson Dart, who I think actually has a very high ceiling. So it does scare me a little bit, but I think UCLA is just too good.
Yeah, I agree. And part of the reason why I'm playing the over here is because I think Jackson Dart is just going to make more plays. I think Slovis is like, I mean, he's not Drew Brees, but he's kind of in that mold where it's like accuracy over tools. And I think that because Dart has a better arm and while he's less refined, I do think that what he does on the football field provides a higher scoring ceiling for USC. I think we do get a bunch of offense here. USC has been very good running the ball all year. And overall, the UCLA defense has been pretty disappointing. I'm glad DTR played last week. I think they're going to be able to move the ball with ease, whether it's running the ball, moving at tempo, whatever it is. I think they're going to get their points easily. I like the over at 65.5. I did bet UCLA -3 too, so can't say I hate the play. Moving on to my number 2 is South Carolina getting 7.5 points, hosting Auburn. Now, am I getting too cute? Probably. That being said, Bo Nix is out, and you know, James, as a podcast, I've taken, it's been a long journey, but I went from week one of last year. Was it last year? I think it was, of calling Bo Nix like the shittiest quarterback ever. And he did prove me right last year too. Overall, I think I've mellowed out on him of sorts, but I do think he definitely matters to Auburn. And because of what he does to make plays, and it's almost in the mold of Adrian Martinez. It's, you know, like you'd kind of take the bad plays to take the good plays, because like it can win you games.
I mean, he's better than Adrian Martinez. There's no doubt about that.
I'd agree. I think ultimately, if they swap situations, I think they'd be pretty similar. I think Bo Nix has a little more talent around him, just on like O-line, receiver, running back, that kind of thing. But now we go to TJ Finley, and TJ Finley had some like late game heroics against what shitty team they played, Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
But I don't think TJ Finley is very good. I'll just put it that way. And not that South Carolina is good, but getting more than a touchdown, I think, is valuable here. I also bet them a little bit on the money line because I think they can win. And who does Auburn have on deck, James?
Bama.
Bama, that is right. I just think the number is valuable here. It's a very low total. I think it was 43 last I checked. And South Carolina has shown signs of life in recent weeks. And I do think that we get a good performance out of them as sort of like a marquee win to build upon going into next year. So while at a big talent disadvantage still, I do kind of like South Carolina here +7.5. Thoughts?
I lean that way. It's just, I don't trust a backup going into an SEC stadium other than maybe Missouri, or although Mizzou played better last week. Probably just Vanderbilt and laying more than a touchdown. South Carolina is not good by any means. There's no doubt about that, but getting 7 and a hook here is pretty nice. So I lean that way.
All right. Already talked Wake Forest, which was my third favorite play. Wake Forest +4.5. I only have one to talk about left because I did talk UCLA, USC too. James, your third favorite play was Oregon +3. So we already covered that too. Now we move to your fourth favorite play, Illinois +12.5. They are playing at Iowa, right?
Yep.
All right. Why do we like them?
We like this because they're going to be less than 12.5 points in the game. So we're going to grab the 12.5 with Iowa.
Okay.
With Illinois.
are we saying 10-0 Iowa?
10-0 Illinois. Iowa's playing horrible football right now. I mean, they were lucky to cover against Minnesota. They've been lucky the last few weeks. The offense is just, there aren't really words. It's horrible. I mean, it's actually watching paint dry. And we've seen Illinois be a little feisty against some good teams, and especially against teams like Iowa that struggle offensively. Minnesota, Illinois went on the road and beat State. You and I know very well they went to Penn State and won. Getting 12 and a half here against a team that can't score in like a four possession game, I love it. I think Illinois is super live here. I probably will tickle this money line. Grab the 12 and a half.
Interesting. I don't know if I can get there. Although, blessing in disguise, Illinois' coach is out.
Bielema.
Bielema. He's not necessarily my favorite in-game coach. So I do think that is a small benefit here for Illinois. I don't have much on this game. I still think Iowa's defense is pretty good, and I do think Illinois just kind of sucks overall. That being said, the joy of watching another 8-0-T football game could make me very happy. So I've got my fingers crossed for that. Your fifth favorite play is Virginia, plus 14 and a half. Is this the line without Brennan Armstrong? Also, Virginia is playing at Pitt. Forgot to mention that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of question marks around it, which is why it's my fifth leg. I mean, I don't really love it. I'm hearing that Armstrong might play. So I think it makes the 14 and a half pretty valuable here. Even if he doesn't, I think 14 and a half is just a lot of points to be laying with Pitt. Yeah, that offense is really good, and we know very well that Virginia's defense is bottom of the barrel. But I actually kind of like what I saw from Virginia's backup in the second half. If Armstrong does not play, he's got a strong arm. He's just a little ripe, a little green. So I think 14 and a half is a lot here. I wouldn't play this one very big unless you find out Armstrong is playing before he moves, but I can get behind some 14 and a half.
So just very quickly, Pat Narduzzi expects Brennan Armstrong to play. I don't know if he's just saying that, but
that just sounds like coach jargon.
Yes, but I do think it's important that he is. If Brennan Armstrong plays, I think 14 points is a ridiculous amount. 14 and a half, excuse me. You could talk me onto this. I hope Pitt wins just for my ACC future, but I think 14 and a half is pretty valuable. Honestly, I think it's a bit of free roll because I think that just from last week, this Virginia team with a backup quarterback is pretty undervalued. So I don't hate that. And if Armstrong plays, this is going down to 10. So,
yeah, I mean, it was a free roll last week on him not playing, and now we're on the other side of it.
You're right.
Hope we can go 2 for 2.
We cash big time with that. Go Notre Dame.
Yep.
I think somehow I've been able to talk about like the three bets that I won last week without talking about all of the bets I lost last week. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now. Finally, my last play, Stanford plus a half, first half. So you and I were both talking about this earlier. David Shaw should be fired just for what they've done the past, 3 years now?
Yeah.
He used to be the model of consistency, and now take out a standout yet lucky performance against Oregon. They have absolutely sucked this year.
Yeah.
Tanner McKee is going to start, which is good. And they are hosting Cal. That being said, I do think this is just an undervalued point, especially with Tanner McKee starting. I think he matters quite a bit. And there are just so many questions surrounding Cal. I was like a weird COVID situation. James, you want to explain that really quick? Because you seem to have a better handle of it than I did.
Yeah, I read a post that Chase Garber's had on Twitter, and it sounded like some guys tested positive and then they made the entire team tests. And I believe just about everyone was vaccinated. So they didn't have to test, but they were mandated to, despite like earlier in the year, like they knew the protocols and they like this signed agreements that said, you don't have to test if this happens. So everyone tested. I think a lot of people wound up positive, and Cal players are mad that people unnecessarily had to test when they didn't need to. And it resulted in so many guys sitting. Which, by the way, they lost at Arizona. And then the game the following week against USC last weekend got canceled right after, like an hour after the tweet. So I don't know. There's some stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure. I'm worried it's just too much of a distraction here. And I don't know. I think that ultimately, I think that like what Stanford was able to do with a couple of backup quarterbacks, I think that it's kind of deflated Stanford's market number a little bit. And I think we're getting a little bit of value here. I think with Tanner McKee, though, we get a better start to a game than what's normally happened. So give me a first half line, especially getting a hook in what I think could be a very low scoring game. So we'll happily take Stanford first half. That's it. Anything else?
No, I think we were pretty thorough that time. So
I would agree. Really quick, I would love to get a college basketball take from you or two. Very broadly, give me a Final Four.
Probably. Gonzaga's got to be in there.
Would agree.
I kind of like UConn. I just bet them 60-1. I think they're a little, it could be around the 10, 15, 20 range come March.
Okay.
Purdue has looked like a world beater.
They are a wagon.
I bet them preseason, so I'm pretty happy about that. And I like what I've seen from Kansas so far. I thought they were really impressed against Michigan State, and Michigan State's looked good in other games. So that would be my four right now.
Purdue, Gonzaga are just immediate no sweat Final Four teams for me at this moment. I'm going to throw in BYU to be a little different. I think that very, very high on this team. I think they're very good. And I'm going to say Memphis. Memphis gotcha. Is – that ceiling is ridiculous. And just for what they do defensively, it might look like just looking at final scores, they're not great defensively, but they've been playing so fast on offense that – only allowing teams to score like around 70 points, that just greatly undersells how good their defense is. So I'm very much looking, and also Imoni Bates is so, so good. And I feel like overall people kind of like fell off him a little bit, but it's all good. So I'm excited. We'll have more college basketball stuff as the weeks go on. Next week's my favorite sports week of the year. Non-conference tournaments, college football rivalry week, Thanksgiving football. It's going to be great. For the Sharpside Podcast, make sure you follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod. Got all of our college basketball plays there. And download the BetSports app too while you're at it. James, I'm excited for this week. And you know what we're going to do?
We're going to win some money. We're going to win
a shit ton of money, James. I'm excited.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.